Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai, and also is executive producer, director and supreme manager. Sai Ram, and good morning dear listeners, and welcome to Thursday Live. You are tuned to our Asia stream and we are coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna and I am honored to host this segment called Morning Glory. Thank you for staying with us on this fine balmy Thursday morning of April the 25th, 2019. We are coming to you live from the Radio Sai studios here in Prashanthi Nilayam, where the time right now is exactly 42 minutes past 9 a.m. That is Indian Standard Time. Current weather conditions in the Divine Valley call for clear skies with occasional cloud cover. Current temperature is at 34 degrees Celsius and we are expecting afternoon highs of a balmy 41 degrees Celsius with overnight lows of 27 degrees. Surprisingly, through the heat spell, we have had two instances of heavy rains in Parthi in the recent past. Both happened in the evenings and towards night time. That really helped to irrigate our soil and quench the thirst of our plants and trees. But whether our weather is hot or cold or humid, the inner climate here is always pretty pleasant. That is the divine magic of this abode of supreme peace, which houses the holiest of shrines on the face of the planet, namely the Mahasannidhi of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. To the sacred energy that emanates from that holy seat, we bow with reverence and heartfelt love and deep gratitude. By the way, traffic in downtown Puttaparthi this morning, you guessed it. Yesterday, it was simply crazy. What else can you expect if 40 to 50,000 people descend on a town at once? This morning, it was quite busy, a little chaotic, but it was moving. Clearly, yesterday, 24th of April 2019, Aradhana Day was the most spiritually and emotionally charged day of our lives. I hope you caught the grand celebrations of Aradhana Mahotsavam here in Prashanthi Nilayam through Radio Sai. Nearly 40,000 devotees, plus Seva Dal, plus other members of the Satya Sai family, gathered in the Sri Satya Sai Hillview Stadium yesterday morning to receive the gift of Swami's Prasadam in the form of cooling drinks such as buttermilk and water, delicious food and beautiful new clothes from Bhagwan. I believe there's a little clip that one of our brothers shot from his hotel balcony of the Vidyagiri arch and the number of people buzzing through it, and it's gone viral on social media. That gives you a glimpse of the kind of response to the sacred day that comes spontaneously from devotees. Now, this was the scene, 40,000 plus in the Hillview Stadium. There was another event happening in the Hillview Stadium that was the inauguration of the Phase 2 of the Sai Mitra Solar Power Project. As you may know, Prashanthi Nilayam has consistently worked to reduce its carbon footprint. Our ashram and its allied institutions are committed to being planet positive in their power consumption, which is important for our environment. And we have been switching to solar power consistently. Yesterday, we inaugurated yet another phase of the Sai Mitra project, which is our solar energy project. Meanwhile, yesterday, the ashram hosted thousands and thousands and thousands of people to a sumptuous and delicious lunch as Bhagwan's prasadam. But these are only the side stories. The real action was in the mandir. The speeches, the dramas, the musical extravaganzas, including the tradition of the Sai Pancharatna Kritis. If you have missed any of this, I urge you to please view it on Radio Sai's YouTube channel. Speaking of which, I'm so happy to inform you, dear sisters and brothers, that the YouTube channel of Radio Sai has now over 100,000, that is over 1 lakh subscribers, all gathered organically, and YouTube has upgraded Radio Sai's YouTube channel to silver level. Just to give you a glimpse of what that silver status means, here are a few mind-boggling statistics from YouTube for your consumption. These come straight from YouTube. Number of Radio Sai videos posted on YouTube, 2,004. Number of subscribers, 138,485. That is 1,38,485. Number of views according to YouTube. Number of views of Radio Sai material on YouTube. This statistic comes from YouTube, and I want you to please listen carefully, dear listeners. I repeat, the number of views as per YouTube statistics are 33,776,295. This was till yesterday morning. 33,776,295. So now we have to work harder together, dear listeners, and take it to the gold standard by getting other interested partners to subscribe. That is right. You just have to click on the subscribe button to receive just the right dose of Sai inspiration regularly. Many people still view it, but they don't subscribe. Once you click on the subscribe button, we gather that number, the statistic increases, and so does our rating. Please ensure that you share this only with those who are genuinely interested in Swami, and never force it on anyone else. We don't need them. When their time comes, Swami will invite them himself. That's not our job. But only in your samiti, in your Sai center, within your Sai family, if there's somebody who enjoys these, guide them to also click on the simple act. One click, subscribe. That's all. It's a very simple click. So, dear sisters and brothers, I've lined up an important interview for your inspiration on Morning Glory today. It's from a classics collection, and the reason I chose it is because all of us need to enjoy good health at all levels, emotional, physical, mental, spiritual, to be able to serve the love of our lives, whose name is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. This episode of Tris with Divinity with Dr. Upendra Acharya is going to come up shortly. But first, I've been waiting to talk to you. I have a question for you. I want you to think things through and only then respond to me pronto. You can do it both. As always, you can share your response with me by WhatsApping me at 9393-258-258. I repeat, our WhatsApp number at Radio Sai for any form of feedback is 9393-258-258. If you're dialing this number from outside of India, please prefix the country code +91. Or you can email me directly at karuna@radiosai.org. I'll spell that for you. K for kite, A for America, R for Russia, U for umbrella, N for Nancy, A for apple, KARUNA, @radiosai, one word, radiosai.org. But before announcing my question, I want to share my personal dilemma with you, dear sisters and brothers. Last few days, I have had some intense personal conversations with devotees who have had incredible physical proximity to Swami. These individuals have interacted with Swami way too many times, and they are like dynamos, burning at a deep cellular level to live and breathe and serve only in the name of their Lord. They have no other distraction, no other major interest. As moving and inspiring as it is to listen to them, Sometimes I feel it's like a slap from an invisible hand on my left cheek and then on my right cheek and one on the top of my head, because I realize how raw and unripe my devotion is and how much more I need to work harder to sweeten my love and my heart to ensure that I actually love, live, breathe Him whom I want to please. I don't know if any of you have such self-doubt as devotees sometimes. Not jealous or something, although sad to have never been as physically close to Swami as these elders. So a restlessness started to set in lately. Now, to top this churning in my heart, I found out yesterday that on Aradhana Day and on Bhagwan's birthday, and you may want to note this too because I've heard of it somewhere in the periphery because it keeps coming on various WhatsApp groups, but I never paid attention. So every year on Aradhana Day and on Bhagwan's divine birthday, we are allowed to visit his room at the Shatisa Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, that is our super specialty hospital here in Prashanti Gram. That is the room where Bhagwan left the physical body. Yesterday afternoon, for the very first time, I visited that sacred spot. It was emotionally overwhelming experience on the one hand, and on the other hand, I was so disturbed. The one thing that bothered me the most was how to experience that deep, sweet bliss of beholding Him, of listening to His divine voice and have that pair of big black eyes focus on us even for a fleeting moment. What a shudder or a shiver went down our spines every single time Swami's gaze met ours, and the bliss that emanated from our hearts if He smiled at us. In the absence of that opportunity, how do we stay inspired and motivated and pure and loving all the time is my dilemma. So dear listeners, I'm asking you this morning to share your tips that work for you in keeping you clean in your hearts, pure in your intentions and motives, unruffled in this world of ups and downs and turmoil, and how do you keep your inner eye focused on His divine form internally. So please don't console me by saying that I'm already doing so by serving in the ashram. That's not at all true, because there is always that chance of becoming mechanical in our work, losing the freshness of enthusiasm to appreciate the job God has given us. It can happen to any one of us. Nobody's immune from that. If you hear from these seniors and elders, they're oozing with sweet nectar of Sai love from inside their being. Their love is intense. Their sense of responsibility to serve the mission is embedded in their DNA. Their singular focus is on pleasing Bhagwan. I too want to progress, and I'm sure you too want to progress along those lines. So how does one assuage this restlessness is my concern. The Aradhana Mahotsavam has thrown me into a tizzy by churning my soul and my heart and my mind. So today's question to you, dear listeners, is as follows. It's three parts, so pay attention. What do you, dear sisters and brothers, do to stay, A, focused on Swami, to stay inspired to serve with the purest of love, and how do you keep your inner vision centered on the divine form of our Lord? So how do you stay inspired? How do you stay focused on Swami? How do you stay inspired to serve Him with love? And how do you keep your inner vision constantly focused on Him? With your full name and also your location, please don't forget to write where you are, which city or country. Send me your heartfelt replies by WhatsApp at 9393258258 or email me immediately at karuna@radiosai.org. Today I'm reaching out to you, dear sisters and brothers, for your wise counsel and guidance in my moment of deep angst. Let me repeat the three-part question. What do you do to stay focused on Swami? To stay inspired to serve Him with purest of love, and how do you keep your inner vision centered on Him? Let us all learn from each other and grow as a family, as one family, as Swami's family. That's what Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu says. As I await your answers, I have a beautiful interview on holistic health by Dr. Upendra Acharya for your soul nourishment. Have a listen. I'll come back and share all your answers, and I have some other treats for you lined up. But this time, give it some serious thought, because we can't just go mechanically through one Aradhana day and another without actually improving in our spiritual sadhana and becoming better persons, more loving. At deep cellular level, how do we ensure that, you know how Hanuman plucked his hair dramatically and even that strand of hair from his body was buzzing Rama, 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 Rama. How does one get there? What is it that's lacking in our efforts? Are our motives, how do we purify and sanctify our motives further so that we actually make Swami captive of our heart and he just has to oblige because our love overwhelms him and we know he's like butter that just comes close to heat of devotion and he melts. So how to captivate this intriguing and eluding God of ours? I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your thoughts. Reach me on WhatsApp 9393258258 or by email at karuna@radiosai.org. In the meanwhile, over to this interview from our classics collection from Dr. Upendra Acharya. I know you will like it. It's an all-time favorite of many of our listeners. And every time someone picks up something new that becomes worthy of following up, and incorporating a good practice, incorporating in our lifestyle so that we improve our spiritual health, our emotional health, our mental health, at all levels we can all improve. Have a listen, please. Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to Tris with Divinity. My guest today is Dr. Upendra G. Acharya, the medical superintendent of the Sri Sathya Sai General Hospital, Whitefield. Dr. Acharya has been associated with the Whitefield General Hospital of Bhagwan Baba since February of 2010, and he has distinguished himself in the medical field internationally. He has served as the medical director and consultant physician for dermatology and venereology at the Dubai Herbal and Treatment Center in Dubai, UAE for 8 years up until 2010. Earlier on, he also headed the Department of Health and Medical Services for the Government of Dubai in UAE. He has been associated with the World Health Organization as well as the National Health Services in the UK. In terms of his education, he received his MBBS from Gujarat University in Ahmedabad, India in 1963 and his diploma in child health from Glasgow, UK, his diploma in venerology from Liverpool, UK and his membership of the Royal College of Physicians, UK in London in 1971. In 1986, he qualified for the fellowship of the Royal College of Physicians in London, UK. Dr. Acharya has served as the founder chairman of the Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organization in Dubai Center since 1980 as well as the chairman from 2000 to 2009 and as regional medical coordinator for Gulf and Middle East up until 2009. During this period of distinguished career as a doctor and as a Sai Sevak, Dr. Acharya has gathered a treasure trove of Sai experiences that we wish to hear about today. And I'm very pleased to tell you that Dr. Acharya is a person who has made copious notes after every interaction with Bhagwan, and luckily he has that binder with us here in the studio today with him. So on that happy note, I welcome Dr. Acharya. Sairam, sir.
Sairam to you.
And welcome to Tris with Divinity on Radio Sai.
Thank you.
It's so nice to finally have you. Sir, your journey to Baba began in 1979. Under what circumstances and how?
First of all, let me start by expressing my most humble pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan and reverential and loving pranams for giving me an opportunity to be a part of his Sai mission.
Oh, you're so humble.
And the journey with divinity actually started with my first physical darshan of Bhagwan on the 23rd of December 1979. At Vrindavan, Whitefield. And it all happened with Mr. R. N. Rai Kapoor, an ardent devotee of Bhagwan from Wembley in the UK, who was in Dubai at that time, or a few years earlier in connection with his business, and then later retired and settled in UK. So while I was visiting him, he said, "I'm taking a group of devotees to Parthi. Would you like to join us since you worked in the UK for all these years?" I said, "Why not? I never even thought that I was the only physician, and how could I take leave 2-3 times in a year at that time?" But it all happened. It was His grace. And
were you familiar with Baba by then?
No. In fact, I had only heard about him. I heard about him from Mr. Manubhai Patel from Kenya, and Mr. Manubhai Patel was an office bearer, and he had met Baba during his stay in Africa. So while we were at Mr. Rai Kapoor's place, he suggested that we visit Manubhai, and that's how he showed us the video of Baba and Amrit and Vibhuti coming on the photos. And so that was the first introduction. But there was no doubt that in our very first meeting with Swami, there was not a shade of doubt. In the very first visit to Parthi,
that was in Vrindavan, 79.
That was from 23rd to 27th, we were in Vrindavan.
Okay.
27th onwards, we came to Parthi with the London group.
Okay.
Now, we had, on the 1st of January, after celebrating the new year in Prashanti, I told Mr. Rai Kapoor, you know, it's time, we are very happy, we come to Bhagwan, we've had darshan, and we want to go back, this thing. And he told me, Doctor, don't go back, Swami is going to see you tomorrow. I said, what guarantee, Mr. Kapoor? He said, you don't believe me? He used to sit with his tape recorder, he had permission from Swami to record in the veranda. So he has wonderful tapes of all recordings while he used to come to Parthi. And then Mr. Rai Kapoor plays the tape back, and I hear him talking to Swami, saying, Swami, my doctor has come. Before he could say anything, Baba has replied, I know, I will see them tomorrow. Caught on the tape.
How precious is that?
So, then he said, now you believe me? I said, yes. So we stayed back. And on the 2nd of January, Swami called us for the interview. So that was four of us, my wife, myself, and my two daughters.
That would be 2nd January 1980.
80.
Right.
And first thing Swami asked me, you have devotion with Lord Srinivasa? Because our family deity was Tirupati Srinivasa. I said, yes, Swami. I had some experiences in Tirupati which I wanted to ask Bhagwan, but he put a stop to it. He said, all are one. And he didn't allow me to speak on that subject anymore. He called us into the personal interview chamber, and to my children, he spoke in English. To my wife, he spoke in Kannada. And with me, he spoke both in Tamil and Hindi. So we were exposed to these four languages in the first interview. And in the very first interview, he welcomed us by saying, less luggage, more comfort, less luggage, more comfort, twice. We normally, as a family, used to travel very light. At that time, because we had just entered into Swami's fold, we didn't know much about the body-mind complex and how things interact. Later on, in subsequent interviews, when Swami again repeated, less luggage, more comfort, he had at that time primed us so much, he said, reduce desires, reduce desires. So, and then he also gave that example that when you come to Parthi, you reach your destination, keep your burden off, don't carry with you back. So this is what the interaction was in the very first interview. And then he told me, started in Hindi, both doubt karta hai. Right, wrong, waving his finger.
So you have a lot of doubt about right and wrong.
So he said, don't doubt. What you are doing is right. Ask here. If this says yes, that is right. And that gave me a tremendous confidence of taking decisions.
So how do you go about it? So if you are in doubt, whether you're deciding on something, if it's right or wrong, how do you refer to your heart?
I just want to say that I've also gone into energy medicine.
Right.
And in energy medicine, everything is at the heart level. You communicate at heart level. And in one interview, Swami even asked, what is communication? And we said, understanding each other. He said, no, communication is a language from heart to heart. Not from brain to the mouth, but it's heart to heart. So, meaning everything is suffused with love. When it is filled with love, there can be no other quality with it. Everything is pure love. So when that happens, you take the right decision. And he also gave us a thing that we were about to set up Balvikas classes
in Dubai.
In Dubai. We had arranged everything, but we thought, you know, we must come seek his blessings before we opened Bal Vikas, because this was something, we were doing it for the first time. Swami called us for an interview, both my wife and myself, and he said, when you are going to do anything good, you don't have to take permission.
Oh, that's such a good guideline.
Yeah.
Reassuring.
Yes. So, and he said, I know you have kept everything ready. You have come here to seek my blessings. And he gave us some guidelines. He said, I want quality, not quantity. 8 to 10 students in a class, and don't go beyond 12 at any time. And it so happened later on, because the numbers were increasing, we did go beyond 12 and realized that we were not doing the right. And then we had to open some additional classes. So when Swami has said something, that's the word, final word.
For all times.
For all times. And we should never even analyze it. Mm-hmm. We just follow to the letter, to the core. And he said, regarding quality, a teaspoon of cow's milk is better than a liter of donkey's milk. Even if you have 8 students, or if you are doing bhajans, even if you have a small number, it doesn't matter, as long as they all are singing from the heart. I want quality at all times. And he has, you know, insisted on that at every walk of life.
And you can see that throughout Swami's mission and everything that Swami has set up, quality is of paramount significance.
Yeah. So that was the first interview. That was one. And during a short stay in Parthi, I came across a few incidents that left me no trace of doubt that Swami was no ordinary human being. He is God.
What were those episodes?
One was, we had a young lady who had come in a wheelchair from UK. She had not walked. She went into the interview room in the wheelchair and came out walking. That was something that stunned me, because I had seen her going in the wheelchair and she had not walked. The second, I came across a doctor and his child who had a hole in the heart. And this doctor was happened to be 1 year junior to me, also who qualified from Gujarat. And Swami told, no operation. He just rubbed the child's heart. When they went back to UK, the consultant surgeon was literally amazed. The heart had reduced in size. The ECG was normal, but the murmur was still there. And he said there was no need for urgent surgery at this moment. And Swami had told this doctor, come with the child in 6 months' time. It so happened, in 6 months' time, we again met. And so I had a good chance of following up what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
This child, Swami, this time materialized a Shirdi Baba idol and said, do Abhishekam, milk Abhishekam, give a spoon of milk every day to the baby, he'll be all right, no surgery. And to my amazement, 25 years later, I meet this boy, he found a girl in Dubai, and I even attended his marriage.
God bless him, and he's hale and healthy, I'm sure.
And he's hale and healthy. So this was something in 1980, which impressed me so much. You know, just rubbing on the chest had cleared the hole in the heart. That was second. The third, I met another devotee who told me I was absolutely fine. I had no problems, no symptoms, nothing. Swami looked at me and said, go to Chennai, at that time Madras, and he said, see a neurosurgeon. He said, Swami, I'm fine. Baba told him, no, I'm telling you, go. When he had his checkup, there was a small tumor. And he said, look, I had this tumor removed and this is the scar. So that was it in January 1980. And in July 1980, I wasn't there, but my wife and 2 daughters were traveling from Bombay to Bangalore, and Swami was on that flight. So they had a wonderful experience after the first interview in 6 months' time.
They're on the Indian Airlines flight with Swami.
They're on the Indian Airlines flight from Bombay to Bangalore. Unfortunately, I was not there. So they had, again, darshan, and we were able to go to the front and touch his feet. So that was something.
Mid-air. So nice. So dramatic.
Yes. And then my first introduction to a medical camp was in 1981. I was with one Dr. Anand Mohan from Kerala. In those days, the camp used to be held in the Saikulwant Hall shed where the ambulance used to be parked. And one or two bays used to be emptied and filled with all the tables and medications. Swami would come there, light the lamp, and then he would go around and touch a few of the medicines. And whatever he used to touch would be the treatment. And I have seen half a tablet, one tablet, clearing up anybody's illness. You really have to see to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was there, he said, "Doctor, I'll tell you about my personal incidents about Swami and the medical camp." An elderly man came to Parthi. Swami was already out on darshan. So he stood near the gate. At that time, there was no Saikulwant Hall. It was all open. And so Swami finished going around the lady's side and came near the gate and had a long stare at this person who was at the gate. This man had a huge hernia. After Swami then moved towards the gent's side, he felt something wet on his dhoti. He saw a trace of blood. So he came to the camp. When we examined him, that whole swelling was gone with a clean cut surgical wound and stitches. One stare of Swami had done the surgical operation.
And he had stitches too to show for it.
He had stitches to show that this thing was done. You have to see to believe. You know, so this indicates
the power of
the power of the look. And then, as I said, I'm going back to energy medicine all the time because I qualified in energy medicine using advanced tachyon technology, going up to the PhD level, although I didn't take the exam. And tachyon is the name of a subatomic particle faster than light. It's the first particle that comes from the formless, assumes form, and then goes back to the formless. As it comes from the formless, it carries with it all the intelligence, the energy. Now, with this background, now I know Swami is a powerhouse of tachyon. If tachyon particle we use using a crystal for healing, what would be the power of multiplied so many times from the look of Swami to even do anything?
That's why he said that whatever my eyes rest
energizes.
On is transmuted.
Transmutes. Mm. So this is the very subtle way or the delicate way of knowing what's happening in the realm of energy.
Fascinating information. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
My God. It's
and on the same subject of energy, I would just like to share. It was in April 1999, on a Good Friday, Swami gave me a glimpse of the energy. As he came walking into Sai Ramesh Hall, he gave me a glimpse of this whole white energy around him. It was just not around the head and body. It was going across several feet, right across. And as he bent to receive a letter from a lady devotee, because that was where Swami used to come and then go on to the gent's side, he gave me a glimpse of his energy going from his hand into the person as he received that letter.
Wow.
And not only that, the energy also went back areas where Swami had not even gone.
In the darshan hall.
In the darshan hall. So, Swami has said many times, you know, we think Swami has not come here, but his energy has already flowed. Even
what
in
is the energy
in,
like? What does to the
it was absolute
it
white energy, dynamic, moving. You can normally can't see energy with your naked eyes. But he gave me that rare glimpse of observing his energy. I had only read in his gift of darshan that as I come round, my energy flows from me to you. And if you indulge in any activity, talking or doing anything, that energy comes back to me, dissipates. So after my darshan, you should go to a quiet place and assimilate and absorb that energy. I had only read that, but that on that day, he gave me a glimpse of what I had read to understand that his energy was just not only in Sai Kulwant Hall, but was going beyond.
This was Sai Ramesh Hall.
Sai Ramesh Hall.
In Vrindavan.
Vrindavan.
Yeah.
You know about Baranowski and the order Frank, that he had seen.
Yes. The famous Kyrillian photographer Frank Baranowski, who could read auras. Yes.
So this was another instance to show that, you know, Swami's energy going everywhere. So even a mere touch, even if his robe touches you, that is sufficient to energize you. Because he's all that
That's
energy.
That's why it's so precious to have the gift of a robe. Many people do.
Yes.
And for generations to come, I think it will continue to energize anybody who comes in contact with it.
And Swami has also said, anybody can produce a ring, a bracelet, a lot of people do.
Yes.
But the difference between that and mine is that mine is suffused with energy. So whatever he gives you, whatever he has done, you know, is all filled with energy. Limitless. That's the beauty of this thing.
And I see some such objects on yourself. You have a ring there which is shining on your index finger.
This was given in 1990 during our 25th wedding anniversary. And there's a wonderful story behind this.
And I believe he gave you a long, long interview for almost 2 hours as a family.
In those days, Swami used to come very early in the morning darshan. So I've got everything written down. At 6:50 a.m., he called us into the interview room.
Your wife and yourself?
No, we had other family members who had come. Okay. My daughter, sister-in-laws, and all of them were there. And then Swami, when he came at darshan time, he looked at me. So I just got up. I said, so Swami only said, oh, wedding anniversary today? I said, yes, Swami. I said, come with my family. He said, go. So that's how we went inside.
So exciting even
to hear. All exciting. At those days, Mr. Kialdas used to be with Swami, and we knew the family very well because Kialdas' sister lives in Dubai. So that's how we know the family well. And that was a wonderful thing. So inside the interview, there were other people around. Swami talked to them, and then he looked at me and he said, I will give you something. And by a wave of his hand, he materialized and brought this ring. And I must tell you, it was white to start with.
Like a stone?
Like a stone.
Clear stone.
And as he was holding, colors started coming. And I have a picture of this ring right in front of you.
This is the picture of what was on the ring?
On the ring.
There is a beautiful statue of Vishnu, and in the chest of Vishnu is a face of Shirdi Baba, and below that there is Satya Sai, and there is so much detail. I think these are flowers Satya Sai Baba is wearing, a garland.
All right. When he materialized the ring, he asked me, what do you see? I could see at that time only Shirdi Baba's face.
Okay.
I said, Swami Shirdi Baba. He gave it next. He passed it on to a student next to me. He said, Swami, it looks like Krishna. At that time, the outline was forming.
Oh, it was developing.
Developing. No, this is the wonderful part of it. And then Swami took it back in his hand, and then the whole thing came. And he said, this is Mahavishnu. In the heart of Vishnu is Shirdi Baba. In the heart of Shirdi is Satya Sai. And in the heart of Satya Sai, he told me in Tamil, Prema Sai is there.
Can you see Prema Sai?
You can see the outline. You can see in the heart, the white with the hand. If you still blow it up, you can really see an outline.
Okay. Oh, now I can see Prem Sai.
You can see just the outline.
Yeah, a small little figure in the chest of Satya Sai Baba.
And then it's got an oval ring around it.
Yeah.
And he said, this is the Vishwarupa, the nature. You can see the sun, the sky, the earth, the mountains and the sea.
Yes, and the sun is right behind the head of Vishnu. It's like a halo.
Yeah, and now you see my ring has become white.
Yeah.
There's another a small incident behind it. I had given a copy of this ring, and it's a photograph, to a devotee in Muscat. It was an office bearer in Muscat, and his daughter's birthday. After they had their bhajans, Amrit started coming on the photograph in their house in Muscat. At the same time, Amrit started coming on my ring.
Wow. Simultaneously.
Yeah.
In the same location?
I didn't know what was happening. When I met him, he said, oh, this is, there was Amrit in our photograph. So the whole thing had come up, raised.
Oh.
And everyone, you know, it's on my index finger. When you shake hands or talk to anybody, everyone asking, what is this? What is this? So, it was curiosity. I said, just let me see what is underneath, and the whole thing came off.
Oh, I see.
And got separated. Now, I can't even find that part. think it's possibly gone. And I asked Swami several times. Swami, this is faded, it's not there. He never used to give me any answer. And then the final thing, he just took my hand and put it down as if to say, don't ask me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, later, when I met some senior devotees, and he said, no, see, Swami has done with a purpose. Until now, you were attached to that form. He wants you to go to the formless. His energy is there, but he wants you to be not attached to the form. So that was the explanation. Maybe it was a means to satisfy me or something, or it could be form to formless.
Dr. Acharya, I would like to backtrack a little. You know, for almost 2 hours when you were with Swami in the interview room with your family for the 25th wedding anniversary celebration, what was the conversation like? What are your memories of that interaction?
After he had spoken to all the devotees in the room, Swami said, ask anything. You can ask anything you want. So since Swami gave us that liberty, yeah, Swami, how was it during the time of Rama and Krishna, Yuga? So Swami said, during that time, Maya was prevalent. Maya is present even now.
Illusion, the power of illusion.
And then he gave an example of sage Vishwamitra. He says, sage Vishwamitra was such a learned person, he completely forgot Rama avatar, Sri Rama as God. And he was teaching Bala and Atibala mantra to Sri Rama. If that was the power of Maya in those days, you can imagine what the power of Maya would be today. That was one. And then I was sitting next to Swami. I said, Swami, please show us your Vishwarupa. Because he said, ask anything. So I thought, why not we ask that? Then he looked at me and he said, you see all the devotees who are seated outside? I am in each one of them. The day you see me in each and every person, that is my Vishwarupa. I am in you, you are in me, you and I are one. So he was giving a glimpse of that divinity, saying that there is no difference between you and me. You are divine, I know I am divine. You have to reach that stage. And he has said this on many occasions, including in the hospitals. He says, you have to see me in every patient who comes to the hospital. Only when they go happy, that I am happy, because I am in each one of them. So this is something we need to practice. We sometimes forget. And then in one interview, when he talked about quality, and he said about cow's milk and donkey's milk, and he said, the lowest amongst the animals is donkey, the lowest amongst the birds is the crow, and the lowest among human being, he said, is one who criticizes. Because when you criticize, you're criticizing the Lord in you. So he said, don't criticize. If you find something wrong, because we were all office bearers, and people used to come and say all sorts of things. He said, deal with them gently, patiently, softly. No criticism.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's a very useful lesson for us to learn.
For all of us, my God, yes.
I would like to share two of my personal experiences in Prashanthi Nilayam.
Please.
One was in 1992. It also happened to be on the 20th of January. As I was sitting outside in Darshan, I noticed a very clear vision of Shirdi Sai Baba face appearing on Swami's door.
Interview room door?
Interview room door.
Were you on the veranda?
No, I was seated very... I could see the door.
Okay, on the from the gent's side.
From the inside. And I just rubbed my eyes. I said, am I seeing something? And it was still very vivid, very clear. So a thought went through my mind. Is this true or am I imagining? And the bhajan that started when this thing was happening was Shirdi Sai Dwaraka Mai Prashanti Vasi Sai Ram. As if confirming that, you know, why should that bhajan come on at that moment of time, this thing. So this is one thing. And then I must also say, we're very close with Raja Umapati Rao and his family from Hyderabad. He used to stay in SB 27. So my wife and I, after darshan, we were just passing along that south block. I saw a person I can't miss, like Shirdi Baba, sitting on the stone bench. I told my wife, look, this is Shirdi Baba. I will go and say Sai Ram. You know, that thing came out from me. She said, don't be silly. It's not Baba. I said, he is exactly Shirdi Baba. Can't you see his face, the kafni, everything is exactly Shirdi Baba. He said, come. So we just walked past by. And when he looked back, he was not there.
You didn't say Sai Ram to him?
No, because she stopped me from...
Oh.
And I really cursed myself as how I missed that.
What did he look like? Please describe him to us.
Exactly. Dressed in white, just as in the photograph, as if it was Shirdi Baba sitting there. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But he had a bandana.
I don't think it was imagination because he was there.
Your wife saw the person too,
yeah,
right?
She also see.
Uh-huh. Hmm? But, and he had his bandana tied?
Yes, everything. You know, exactly Shirdi Baba. So that was one. And then I see Shirdi Baba face on Swami's door and this thing happening.
And then the bhajan.
And the bhajan. And then the other thing was, we used to go for a walk every day in Dubai in the evening. That's the time when the lights come on. And on the telecommunication tower where all the discs were there, there was a black disc. And when the light comes on, there's an orange glow. It looks exactly like Swami. So we used to enjoy that thing, and we used to go at that time and talk about Swami while going for a walk. In our visit to Puttaparthi, next visit to Puttaparthi, after we had talked about Swami and this thing, Swami stands near me, talks to an Italian, going for a walk. He said, no, Swami, I do my exercise, I don't go for a walk. Going for a walk with wife? He says, Swami, I'm not married. I'm sitting next, I know this is all directed to me. You know, as Swami is telling me, but he's looking at
the Italian person.
No, going for a walk with wife, talking about Swami, and then realized the omnipresence of Swami. We are talking in Dubai, going for a walk, and Swami tells me what we talk there.
Dr. Acharya, you have served the Sai organization so ably for so many years in a country which is predominantly an Islamic nation. How did you go about establishing with your team such a big network of Sai Seva, Sai activities?
We had to do it in a very discreet manner. And by God's grace, it all happened. In one interview, one of the chairmen asked Swami, we are scared to do bhajans. What should we do? Swami just said, why fear when I am here? Go ahead and do it. And we also had some problem, and we were told to go and meet the ruler. This was Sheikh Hamdan, who was in charge of the municipality, in charge of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Mr. G.B. Choitram and myself did go, and we showed the ruler Swami's hospital. First I asked him, do you know, have you heard of Satya Sai Baba? He said, no. I said, he is our spiritual master. And this is the free hospital that he is running. And twice a week, we sing the glory of God. And that's all we do. I said, so in different languages. And then he said, because I was working with the government. And then he said, if anything happens, send them to me. And that was the last we ever heard.
So there was no difficulty after that?
No. So,
What is your advice to our devotees who are living in parts of the world?
Swami has said very clearly, wherever you are, you follow the rules of the land.
Your good citizenship.
As long as you follow the rules, abide by the rules.
Of that country?
Of that country, wherever you are, he has said that. And then when it came to seva activities, we even made a brochure both in English and Arabic, showed it to the municipality, and they even registered us as Sai group for blood donation. So that is how we were able to do service activities. Not only in the blood donation, we also went into other NGO functions, and we're contributing.
Is there any other advice Swami gave you regarding Sai Seva, Sai organization activities, Dr. Acharya?
One, when we established in a region and we had different groups, so when it came to youth he gave on what the youth should follow. Then when it came to Balvikas, we then went into Balvikas to education in human values. We even had a lot of seminars and conferences. And Brother Jumsai from Thailand also participated in that, which was attended by a wide section of the society. Mm-hmm. When it came to medical seva, we asked him, Swami, what seva should we do? And Swami said, any service, do any service. And we asked him about cancer support. He said, very good. So he gave guidelines on how to go about cancer support group, how to deal with handicapped.
Can you share those with us, if you remember?
We started doing counseling sessions, because basically when people are very disturbed when they come to know about their illness. And so how to go about relaxing and accepting the situation. At the same time, providing answers to their problems. So we used to have small support groups attending once a month to these activities in the hospital. And then we also went into old age homes, handicapped people, and even did some cultural activities for them, entertaining them. So this is how we came into service activities into the society. That way.
I see. And as a doctor, did he advise you professionally from time to time on how to deliver healthcare?
Not in a direct way, but he gave us advice on various things, like, as I told you, on blood donation and things like that.
And to see
that.
God in the patient.
Yes. And in one instance, when the children, when he was addressing the children, he gave them advice on, do not waste food. Food is God. Do not waste money. Money leads to evil. Do not waste time. Time waste is life waste. And do not waste energy. And he said, when it comes to energy, it's not only your activities, but all that you see, feel, touch, hear, smell, through all the senses. And then he said, it is lack of energy that leads to allergy.
Oh, lack of energy leads to allergies.
Allergy. So, because that's basically, when you don't have energy, your immune system is down. And that's how all the...
You become sensitive to allergens.
Sensitive to other things. And then in some instances, he has even given advice on food, because as is the food, he has said, so is the mind. So it's very important that you regulate your food habits. And in one instance, while we were seated, he looked up. There was a ceiling fan with the three blades. He said, you see this fan with three blades and they are in perfect harmony. He said, your life, the body, mind and spirit should be in harmony like the three blades of the fan. Not only that, your three doshas, vata, pitta, kapha, the three gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas, all must be in harmony. And he says the key to health is moderation. So that explains in a nutshell the entire principles of Ayurveda.
Yes. Balancing.
Balance. Okay. So you have to be in balance.
Harmony, yeah.
And when the three qualities are in balance, he said, you become a Mahatma. If they are not in balance, you become a Duratma.
Ouch. Most of us suffer from serious imbalance. So.
And then to the children, he gave in a very simple way the meaning of the sloka Purnamada.
What did he say? Please tell us.
So, he said, Purna is whole circle. If you cut the circle into half, what do you see? He said, letter C.
Letter C, yes, yeah. A semicircle.
This has a beginning and an end.
Mm-hmm.
So, what has a beginning and the end is temporary. This is science. If you join the two C's together, it becomes a circle. There is no beginning, no end. That is spirituality.
I see.
So in a very simple nutshell to the children, we explained what science and spirituality is.
Mm-hmm.
Science is this, spirituality is that.
Mm-hmm.
Science is limited, that has no limits. So in a nutshell, very profound things were.
And said so simply, yet so profound.
Profound. And indirectly, Swami asked me once how his work. And I said, Swami, there are some administrative problems. So he said, treat all work as God's work. Don't think you are doing your work, he said. And when you treat your work as God's work, it has to be with quality. So when you do it in that fashion,
you can't be shoddy at all.
Work then becomes worship.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to divinity. So there is nothing like mine and yours. Everything is God's work.
Imagine if each one of us around the world performed our duties
with that
thought
principle in mind.
We'd all excel.
We all excel, yes. Because he says you're all powerhouses. We don't realize.
Mm.
So we need to tap into that inner power.
True. Almost most of your interactions with Baba were with your family, your two daughters and your wife. Did he at any point in time give you family-related advice that you could possibly share?
On several occasions, he did that. You know, we used to ask Swami, bless us all. He says, it's because of my blessings you're all here. You don't have to ask. So the very fact that you're able to come into the divine presence itself is a great blessing. And he gave the children advice on education. And then we asked him about marriage and other related things. So he gave us guidelines to follow. And then in 1983, he told me, you've been out of India for a long time. Start thinking of coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, Swami, my two children are in school. They won't finish till July. He said, no, I know. Not now. By 85, 86, think of coming back. So in 1985, when we had some interaction with Swami, and since he had already said 85, we had made arrangements to put them in school, and we're just planning.
The school in Bangalore.
Bangalore. He said, don't come back now. Stay for 5 years. So that was 85. Then in 90, when he gave us that long interview, again asked Swami, he said, no, stay another 5 years. So that was 10 years. And in 95, I asked Swami again. Every 5 years, it used to happen. So that went on for 20 years.
Wow.
And then after that, he never put 5 years, but he just said, continue, continue. And then in 2009, the call came to come and take charge of this. At one time, we both thought that Swami has now forgotten. But Swami never forgets. How can he forget?
Truly.
So, but the time had to come. And then now looking back, I can see, you know, we had to form the Satya Sai organization there. We had to carry all that thing forward. So we are glad that he had chosen us as part of his global mission that way. And now there are Sai centers all over the world.
And many in even in the UAE.
And then if I can recall, in 1985, during one of my visits, I brought an acupuncture machine. And Dr. Chari used to be in the general hospital at that time. So I thought it might be useful here. And I had brought it with me, and I had the chance of giving it to Swami in the veranda. Swami took that. Next day, Swami came during darshan, and he talked about acupuncture and acupressure to the devotees in the veranda.
Now, was he in favor of this kind of treatment?
I don't know, but 32 years later, today we have set up a wellness clinic with facilities for acupuncture and acupressure.
In Whitefield Hospital.
In Whitefield Hospital. So, if I can just only go back in time and see and try and figure out how things have slowly fallen in place.
In God's own time.
In His own time.
Mm.
We are limited by time, but it's timeless for Swami. So that you know, just an inkling into what is to happen.
Mm.
So whatever is happening now, whatever is going to happen, these are all programmed already.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to wait for that and do our work and try and fit into that program.
Mm-hmm. Now, currently you're heading the Sri Satya Sai General Hospital in Whitefield, which has had a massive shift because you've moved from one location to the other. You've gone to the super speciality hospital and a lot of inner re-engineering has taken place. Do you have moments, Dr. Acharya, when you're not sure about making a decision and which way to go when you're advising your patients? Because now you can't run up to Swami and ask him
in person. What we do is we know Swami is everywhere and we just go to the shrine stand there, pray to him, and then intuitively you get the answer. And I just like to narrate an incident that happened. A patient was admitted in the hospital. He was almost terminal. Was related to one of the professors in Whitefield College. And I got a call from the professor saying, you know, should we keep the patient in the hospital or should we take him home? We don't know what to do. I said, look, I'm in Bhagwan's shrine at this moment. I will put what you have told me to Swami and I will wait for an answer and see what happens. So I prayed to Bhagwan. I said, this is the problem. What should we do? Should we take him home? At that moment, the garland snapped and fell.
From Baba's picture?
From Baba's picture. No, why should it happen at that moment? I told the professor, he's also Swami's devotee. I said, we got the answer. So they decided to take the patient home.
How did you know that between the two choices, taking the patient home was the right thing?
No, because it happened when I finished the second option.
Okay.
So I knew, because if it had done on the first option, that would have been the thing. When it happened with the second option, I knew that probably that was the answer. And retrospectively, it was the right answer. They took the patient home and he passed away peacefully in his own surroundings. And so there are many a times this thing happens. When we are looking for an answer, you just have to pray. And I think we just need to connect to that source. The moment you do that, the reply will come with the same intensity. So we all know he's everywhere. We just have to tap to that source.
Dr. Acharya, I see a beautiful picture of a lingam on your desk. What is that about?
That lingam was given in 1992 when we brought a group of Balvika students. We were 60 in the group.
And was it given to you?
Actually, it was given to my wife.
I see.
And since we were 60, Swami gave us an interview inside the mandir.
Large group.
In a large group. And he talked to the students. And then he said, who is the leader of the group? Who is with this one? And then he spoke to my wife, asked her how her health was. And then Swami materialized this lingam and said, this is Atma lingam. And he told her, you should pour water, do abhishekam. Then he said, where is husband? So he said, Swami, I know, he said. After you have done, your husband will do the abhishekam. And then both of you take this water. And he said, whoever comes home, give them this water. It will cure all diseases. And we had run of miracles. I would just like to share a couple of miracles of the divine lingam and water.
Which is somewhat light pink in color?
It is grayish in color.
Okay, on the picture it looks somewhat
Yeah, pink. That
and it has those two eyes reflecting?
I don't know, possibly the flash or I'm not very sure. But you can see a crescent there. This is a crescent moon.
Yes. That I see.
Swami said this is Atma lingam. There was a Sri Lankan devotee who moved to Canada. And just before he left Dubai, he had come home. Just as Swami had said, whoever comes home, give them this water. He took a bottle of water. And after that, he left. A few months later, I got a letter from him. He said, remember, doctor, you gave me a bottle of water. I sent it to a friend of mine in Colombo. This friend of mine, his son was suffering from cancer. So after drinking that water, when they went for blood check, everything was normal. So that was the one instance of a miracle of this water. The second, I've had many come home complaining of some ailments or the other. I tell them, take this water and wherever it's bothering you, put this water. A girl who had to appear for an exam had severe ear pain. I didn't even look into the ear. I told, just take a drop, put it in the ear. And by the time she left the house, the pain had disappeared. On another instance, somebody was due for surgery. They just used this water. When they went to Chennai for a checkup, the doctor said there was no need to. And another example is a doctor. She had, while getting down from the auto rickshaw while she was visiting India, she hit her head on the bar of the auto rickshaw. And then a couple of weeks later, she was having some neurological problem. One day as she was driving, she started to see double vision, and she knew something was really wrong. When they did the MRI, they noticed that there was a, what we call a subdural hematoma. Her brother is a neurosurgeon in the U.S., and he said, come immediately, we need to operate and evacuate. In the meantime, she had taken, through a cousin of mine who lived in the same building, asked for this lingam water. And after 4 or 5 days of using it, she noticed her double vision had cleared. She did go to the U.S. When they repeated the scan, there was no need for surgery, and this was a doctor. So I can just give you any instances of this wonderful.
Where is this miraculous lingam now?
Now it is with me.
Do you pray to it daily, doctor?
Yeah, I do Abhishekam.
You might as well bring that to your practice and forget about the medicines.
Interesting. But so when Swami says something, it will cure all diseases, it will cure. I think we just need that faith.
Faith, yeah.
Faith and confidence.
And also the recipient should have the faith and the confidence.
Yeah.
Yes, that is very true. Now, I have a question. You know, I noticed that you've been to the finest of colleges and hospitals in the UK to acquire your education. And later in life, you turned towards alternative integrative medicine, including energy medicine. What drove you towards that stream?
Even when I qualified in my allopathic practice, somehow I was not satisfied with the way we were going about in treatment, particularly with all the chronic diseases. We were using a lot of steroids, we were using a lot of immune suppressants, and I felt we were not doing the right thing. So this was always at the back of my mind. When I went into energy medicine, I got a lot of answers which I couldn't find in allopathic medicine. And the simple thing was, if you keep any energy suppressed for a long time, it will find its expression elsewhere, based on which is your weak point. So, for example, when it comes to, a lot of people use steroids, allopathic physicians use a lot of steroids, cases of asthma or allergies and so many things. When you use for a long time, you're going to get complications of diabetes, hypertension or increased blood pressure, acidity, thinning of bones and all these things. So depending on where the weak spot lies, you will find these happening. Ultimately, you will find that your original complaint has gone, but you are now suffering with 4 and 5 other disorders as a result of that treatment.
So the side effects.
So I was always questioning to myself, am I doing the right thing? Mm-hmm. So when I went into energy medicine, in energy medicine we use a lot of herbal and natural supplements. So that got me interested. Why not an alternative approach? Why not find things that are equivalent, as effective as this, without the side effects? And fortunately, I had the backing of the ruling family to set up the first integrative medicine center in Dubai, incorporating traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurveda, homeopathy, Yunani medicine, and ozone, colon hydrotherapy, all under one roof. And the chief of integrative medicine is Dr. Andrew Weil from Phoenix, Arizona. We had invited him to come to our center, and he was amazed to see, he says, you've got all modalities under one roof. He says, you're doing a wonderful job. So that gave us a lot of confidence to go forward.
This is in Dubai, open to the citizens of...
It's open to all.
Okay.
So how does one go? And we had several conferences introducing this subject. So what we did was, in today's technology and science, it's impossible to practice traditional medicine in its purest form. So what we did, we took the technology and the know-how of modern medicine combined with the wisdom of our traditional medicine. So we switch over from one to another as the need arises. There is no doubt that as far as acute medicine emergencies and surgery is concerned, there is nothing to replace allopathic medicine. But once you have overcome the acute problem, in order to minimize the side effects of drugs, we use alternative approach so that we give the best of both worlds to the patient. So this has been my practice over the last 15 years, and it's working out very well. In fact, now I'm getting patients whom I have put them on allopathic medicine in the hospital. They are now requesting me to take them off. So the pendulum is now swinging the other side, because medicines are getting expensive. As newer and newer medicines come, they all have potential side effects. So we need to find an alternative approach, a cheaper and effective approach for these problems.
You know, we hear about the superbugs that are totally resistant to antibiotics, and apparently 12 have been identified, and all 12 are found in the Indian subcontinent. What would alternative medicine say about enhancing one's immunity to resist them or deal with them?
Allopathic medicine, as I told you, has everything anti, including antibiotics.
Yes. Well, nothing is pro.
Nothing is pro. It's yes. only complementary medicine that gives you the probiotics.
Yes.
But more important than that, it has now been shown scientifically there is a particular variety of honey called Manuka honey from New Zealand. That's the number one grade of honey in the world. And in the Western world also, research has been done to show that Manuka honey can destroy the MRSA-resistant organisms. So this is one approach where you could use honey on the wounds and you don't have to give strong antibiotics.
I see.
We also have a very effective neem and neem products. You will notice that around a neem tree, you won't find any insects around. Neem is such a powerful antiseptic. So we can use antiseptics instead of antibiotics. So there are alternative approaches to use. The second part is you can boost your immune system with a number of natural substances.
Such as?
The most important is turmeric.
Good to hear that. So curcumin.
Curcumin. Mm. Curcumin is a very powerful anti-inflammatory. So also is ginger. Ginger is also, so instead of using all the antacids and all, you just boost your digestion power with ginger. You can use ginger and honey. You can use ginger and lemon or ginger, lime and honey. These are all combinations available. You have all the greens, coriander, curry leaves, which are all very rich in iron.
You have spinach.
You have spinach. You have organic spirulina, which is a superfood.
About spirulina, some people are of the opinion that if you take it over a period of time, you don't absorb B-complexes.
No, it's got to be preferably an organic.
Okay.
And you need small quantities.
I see.
And a very powerful superfood is drumsticks, moringa.
Moringa, yes.
Though, you know, everybody can afford it. It's a very strong immune stimulant. You can use the leaves, the flower, and the vegetable itself.
Hmm.
So instead of just making plain dal, you add moringa drumsticks to it.
And it's frequently used in making sambar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a number of nuts and seeds. Sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, you've got walnut, pine nut, almond, cashews, all these are pistachios. So what you could do is you could have two of each.
Just two nuts.
Two nuts of each.
That's enough?
That's because it's enough, it's rich enough to provide all the omega-3 fatty acids, all the, and it's very good for children. See, children today are going into all the fast foods and all, but if you give them these nuts and seeds and tell them to munch, there's nothing like that to give them. These are all superfoods.
Dr. Acharya, there is a big public dialogue or debate going on about the virtues of eating apricot pips, the seeds, because some people feel that it is contains an element described as B14 or
B17.
B17. And others feel it has high levels of cyanide, which will affect the health adversely. What are your thoughts on it?
Now, B17 is a vitamin termed amygdalin. And in fact, it's been shown that substances which are rich in B17 are also highly anti-cancerous substances. But if you see, now there is no doubt heavy metal contamination of the soil. We have loads of mercury, chromium, aluminium, lead, all these entering the soil. Unfortunately, these are all due to the toxins coming from our factories and pollutants. So if we don't take care of our environment, we are going to suffer at the expense of eating these things ourselves. So one is the soil part. That's where the partly the organic produce comes in, so that you are free from all these contaminants. Second, the goodness of anything lies in the seed. And Swami has said in one, going back to it, what Swami has said about, he said the youth is the seed, the tree comes from the seed, and from the tree comes the seed. So the seed is the one that is perpetual, and it has the potential of the tree contained in it. So you can see that anything that comes from the seed, the sprouts, are all very rich in nutritive nutraceuticals. So we unfortunately take the pulp and throw the seeds. Another very powerful superfood is pomegranate seed. We should eat the fruit with the seed. We shouldn't throw the seed. Same is true.
Chew it up and take the fiber in.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. So all the goodness is in the seed.
Hmm. It's interesting for me to note that Swami's both general hospitals, one in Prashanthi Nilayam as well as the one in Whitefield, are headed by two doctors who are highly qualified in the Western system of medicine and yet have a lot of awareness and knowledge and faith in the integrative approach. Yourself and Dr. Menon, we hear the same strain that you have to treat the body, mind and spirit as a holistic medicine.
Yes.
And your faith in all these superfoods. Any other tips for the health of our listeners?
I would like to, on this subject of integrative medicine, when we set up our center, I was told, given instructions, I want the best. So we went very deeply into all systems of medicine.
I see. Swami gave the instructions?
No, it was when we set up this thing there. And when I went into Ayurveda, into its depth, and we invited Professor Lucas from the Bangalore Ayurvedic College on a 2-year contract to set up the Ayurvedic section there, I had a lot of interaction with him. And then when I went deep into it, I realized that Ayurveda is a perfect science if we follow everything to the letter. And there are diseases, but it's all, as I said, balance. If you keep your Vata, Pitta, Kapha in balance, you stay in good health. It's only when one of the doshas goes out of balance that you suffer sort of side effects of that imbalance.
What about genetic predisposed in...
There are genetic factors. Anything, the very fact that we have come on this earth is due to our past karmas. So we do carry an element of our genetic past into this
present
life.
Can that be corrected or rectified?
I think it's only the power of prayer that can do that. There's nothing more powerful than that. Swami has said, if you surrender to the Lord, He will take care. So I'm sure He will take care of everything.
Surrender is the key.
Surrender is the key.
Dr. Acharya, do people sometimes ask, why do you believe that Baba is God?
A number of people have asked me.
What is your answer?
Answer is, I know He is God. For one reason, we all pray to an unknown force whom we call God. Or we talk to a idol, or we talk to a picture, or this thing. We meditate, keeping something in our mind. And if this person to whom we pray or meditate tells you exactly what you have prayed, to me he is God. I would just like to share my experience on that. I had a ear problem. This was in the mid-80s. And I was thinking to myself, should I take some medication or take some injection or go for acupuncture or do some of this thing? I had not shared this thought with anybody, with nobody. I just talked and not even talked to my doctor about this. When I came to Parthi, Swami called for the interview, and as soon as we sat down, he looked at me and said, ear problem? I said, yes, Swami. No injection, no acupuncture, no medication. This is exactly the three things
that you were considering.
That we're considering and praying for an answer. So I got my answer in a physical form to my prayers. So for me, He is God.
And for us too.
Yes.
My final question to you, Dr. Acharya. More than 5 years have passed since the Mahasamadhi has happened. Has anything changed for you as a devotee?
As a devotee, in fact, I can say my faith in Swami has increased, because he always used to, he has always said, and he also quoted, "Don't be attached to my form, be attached to my principles," he used to say. The form will change, the form will disappear, but the name will persist forever. And the principles on which it was based, if you analyze Sri Satya Sai Baba, Sri stands for divinity, mm-hmm. Satya is truth, and Baba stands for bliss, awareness, Atma. Beauty, awareness, bliss, Atma. Satchit Ananda. So the entire thing is in the name. So if you only repeat his name, do the Namasmarana, meditate on him, his principles, I think you just will carry him in your heart. And on a personal note, while in Hyderabad, we had a wonderful opportunity of being with Swami for several days in Shivam. I had a photograph of Swami, and I wanted Swami to autograph that. Swami took the photograph, took the pen from my hand, looked at me, and he said, "When I'm already in your heart, why do you want this?" And he gave it back. So when he has said that he is in your heart, if you get that feeling that he is in your heart with you, I think you can carry on wherever you are, at all times, at any times. I think that is my take-home message, which...
Well, on that very sage note, Dr. Acharya, I thank you so much on behalf of all our listeners. It's been very enlightening for me to hear you, and I'm sure our listeners are going to benefit tremendously from your wisdom.
Thanks once again for giving me this opportunity.
It is our honor and our pleasure, sir. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners. Sai Ram, dear listeners, sorry about the goof-up. Welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Today is the 25th of April, 2019. And you just listened to an interview with Dr. Upendra Acharya. And this was from our classics collection. I just thought it's a good idea to play something about holistic health, integrative medicine, and I hope you found it beneficial. A few of you have asked me some questions on WhatsApp while the interview was on, and I have sent you the reply immediately. This program is coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. And right now it is 2 minutes past 11 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time, in the Divine Valley. The current temperature is pleasantly rising to late 30s. In the late 30s, it's expected to go to 41 or 42 this afternoon. Now, I had asked a question on my show. By the way, what are your thoughts about this interview with Dr. Acharya? If you have any queries, questions, suggestions, or thoughts or feedback to share with us, please remember to send it to listener@radiosci.org, not to me personally, but please send it to listener@radiosci.org or WhatsApp it to our feedback number 9393258258. Now with that, let me go back to the question I had posed to our listeners out of my deep angst, and I had sought your counsel about what do you do, dear listeners, to stay focused on Bhagwan, to stay inspired to serve with the purest of love, and how do you keep your inner vision centered on him at all times? I have a number of responses, and I thank everybody who participated in this and took the time to respond to me. Let me just first read the email and then go to WhatsApp. A lot of devices in front of me. I'm completely confused. The first email comes from K. Shivagama Sundari from Kadalur in Tamil Nadu, who says, I focus my inner vision to Swami as follows. From morning to night, surrender all my activities. Omkar, Suprabhatam, Bhajan, reading, Sai literature, Japam and Dhyana number 2. Number 3, each and every thought and activity I surrender to Swami and think, asking myself, is this liked by Swami or not? I analyze myself. Before eating and drinking, chant Brahmarpanam. I think all my feelings are God. He guides and shows the right path. But in practical life, it's very difficult for our day-to-day activities. So by practicing Swami's teachings is easy. Even if I drink cool drink or eat ice cream, I pray to Swami and give it all to Swami and accept it like his prasadam.
And even think of our Swami in our mind. It is also the gift that He gives intuition. Sai hai jeevan, jeevan satya sai. Sai bina jeevan kya hai? Thank you, Shivagami Sundari, K. Kadalur, Tamil Nadu. Thank you, Shivagami ji. Shivagama ji, for sharing this thought. Thank you, Sundari. And let me just go back and check now on my WhatsApp. Okay. Number of them. I'll start from the bottom so I don't miss anybody there as I scroll up. This one says, Bala from Bahrain, we can stay focused on Swami by listening to His discourses, doing Namasmarana and by following His teachings. Yeah, we can, but how do you do it, Bala brother? I need the exact method. This is dry knowledge which everybody knows, but I need to know how practically. Now, this one comes from my sweet young friends, Veda and Rahul, and also their dad, Brother Ravi Patel from Johannesburg, South Africa. They say, keep singing bhajans. Wherever I go, I'm always singing bhajans or listening to bhajans. I think the greatest thing we can do is to constantly be chanting His name and laying everything that happens at His feet. Okay, practical. Thank you. Thank you so much, Veda and Rahul and Brother Ravi. I will keep that in mind. Now, this one says, Saira ma'am, I stay focused on Swami and serve Him with love by offering any work that I do to Swami. Also, Swami has blessed me with the golden opportunity to converse with Him every time I have a doubt with me in my mind and thereby live with Swami every moment. Jai Sai Ram, S. Sai Charan, 7th Standard student of Sri Satya Sai Primary School, currently located in Chennai. Thank you, Sai Charan. That's very sweet. And you said, I can't wait for Thursday to participate in this quiz. It'll be wonderful if we have this question session every day. Don't they ask you enough questions in school, Sai Charan? Relax, brother, little brother, baby brother, 7th standard student. I think in primary school you write enough exams. But yeah, this exam is a different one. It's exam of life. And that's the kind of questions we ask. And it's so nice to have a young student participate. Thank you for your participation and your suggestion, Sai Charan. God bless you. And there's one that says, it comes from Vijay Raghavan from Tambaram, Chennai. It says, this can be done by always chewing the cud of blissful days in His divine physical presence. Living with Him by constant communion. In other words, living in the constant presence of Him. Yes, this I had read. Swami had told some people who were very close to Him at one time. And then suddenly Swami put them on ice and didn't talk to them for the longest time. They were feeling so distraught, old-time devotees, and they went on a pilgrimage to the Himalayas. There they met some holy people, and they discussed that they were going through a lot of angst. They didn't know if they had done something wrong. Why was the Lord, who was so giving them so much of personal attention, suddenly looking a little bit withdrawn and cold towards them? And the wise sage, the Himalayan master, explained to them that your master, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, has to give a lot of physical attention and presence minute to minute to His mission and many devotees. He has given you your share of love and affection and personal attention. Now, go back and relive those moments like cud. And try to remember what He said and chew it again and again like a cow. You know, she keeps the cud there on the side of her mouth and chews it and draws juice and nourishment out of it slowly. That's what the Himalayan master had also advised them. So I really like your suggestion by chewing the cud of blissful days that some of us were blessed to have in His presence. Thank you for that, brother. This one comes from Stephen Moodley in Durban, South Africa. He says, Sairam sister, and to all loving devotees, I must admit that this is a tough and emotional question today. It is very challenging in this world to stay focused and not mechanically get caught up in this cycle of day-to-day mundane activities. For me, I keep a diary and constantly recall the love and grace and numerous miracles experienced in this joy of knowing this love of this beautiful God. That is what helps me on this journey with Sai. So Brother Stephen Moodley is suggesting we keep a diary and remember His love and His interventions and focus on them. Thank you, Brother Moodley, Stephen Moodley from Durban, South Africa. Now, let me see. This one. Okay, this one is about Divya Trivedi wanted the volume of the interview to be fixed. I fixed it, Divya. My brother fixed it, rather. Hope it's okay now. This one comes from Brother Prakash Chitranjan from Bangalore, India. And he says, this is a challenging question for sure, challenging for anyone and everyone. The challenge is the separateness between Sai and oneself. As long as we live in this separateness, this dilemma shall ever remain in our consciousness. As per my experience, I have observed that whenever I think of myself as Sai, very few moments though, Sai listening to bhajans or Veda, Sai teaching students in the classroom, Sai watching the TV, Sai eating the food, etc., I feel the bliss and the union with Sai. But then there is always the next moment of I, me and mine taking over. So sister, all this is a process and we need lots of Shraddha and Saburi. Shraddha is faith and Saburi is patience, of course. And allow him to choose that moment. Every time we use or rely on our mind, we are farther away from Sai. By the way, I also get into the dilemma such as yours, but it's only His grace that one's awareness may be at a higher level to experience this more often. Jai Sai Ram. Thank you, Brother Prakash Chitranjan from Bangalore, India. Now, this one says, and to Karuna's question, for me, what's working, this comes from Praveena Kilpadi from Delhi. Praveena Kilpadi of Delhi says, for me, what is working is doing Omkar every morning, followed by Suprabhatam. This has really helped to calm my mind and not to react to the world's ups and downs. Been reading Sai literature for years together and, of course, listening to debates and talks on Radio Sai. Playing bhajans all the day while I go about my day's duties is very soothing and inspiring. And keeping a conversation going with him mentally is a great way to stay connected with the inner Sai. Has made me calmer, kinder and gentler person. Thank you, Praveena Kilpadi. These are all very useful suggestions. You know, it's reading literature, doing your morning prayers, playing bhajans and also having that mental conversation with Swami. Yes, sometimes mine turn into fight, so then I feel very embarrassed. But yes, I think I like to have a lot of inner conversation. But I just hope our conversations would just stay pleasant without me whining as much as I tend to do. This one comes from Shruti Vijay Kumar from Auckland, New Zealand. Shruti Vijay Kumar of Auckland, New Zealand says, beautiful question you have posed. I certainly have a long way to go to reach the state you speak of. One thing that has really helped me connect and intensify my love for Swami is nightly self-reflection. I find this is a precious space to look back at the day and celebrate His presence where I felt it, examine the many instances where I have faltered, and pray and thank Him for all He gives. Over years, this has been a consistent anchor or foundation for all other work, sadhana and pursuits through life. Very nice, Shruti. I really like what you say. And I think this is Swami's way of giving me a knock on my head because I just was talking to this, describing these devotees who have amazing experiences with Swami. And one of them was telling me exactly the same that Swami told him in person, do me a favor, be my friend. Before you sleep, spend 2 minutes with me, have a chat with me, thank me, trust me, speak to me, give me your day, offer it to me. Swami told this to the devotee in person. So what you're suggesting resonates the same sentiment. At the end of the day, spending a little time with Swami, thanking Him, recognizing His interventions, doing a self-audit of where we have faltered. Yes, wonderful. I thank you for this suggestion and it's coming all the way from Auckland, New Zealand. Wow, imported. Very nice. Thank you, Sister Shruti Vijay Kumar. Now, Sai Sudha S. Kumar from Mumbai says, Swami, through various discourses, has beautifully prepared us for this day. Number one, through our selfless sacrifice to the society, when we see the happiness in the faces of the beneficiary, we feel that Bhagwan is happy. When we are appreciated for our behavior, we definitely dedicate that compliment to our Bhagwan and thank Him because He is the one who has inculcated values in us. Maintaining equanimity during the tough days in our lives again keeps us connected to our Lord. Special mention to Radio Sai for keeping us connected with our Bhagwan. Recently, I had to take an important decision and I happened to mention to my friend, wish I could ask Swami. Lo and behold, the program Shravanam Mananam was specifically tailored for me. I got my answer through the clipping of Bhagwan's discourse. He actually told me what to do. So nice, Sai Sudha. I'm so happy for you. This really cheers me up. Congratulations to Team Radio Sai for achieving silver. I'm sure that we will very soon achieve platinum too for Radio Sai is the lifeline of all who are physically away from Prashanthi Nilayam, Sai Ram. Thank you, Sai Sudha Sasi Kumar from Mumbai. This one comes from Brother Anant from Ahmedabad. He says, for me, this focus happens when I keep reminding myself of the evanescent nature of this world, the temporariness of our physical existence on earth. This keeps my mind in check and directs my relationship to Sai within me, who is nothing but the purest aspect of all of us in its pristine existential state. This process moves us from doership to acceptance of happenings. Sai is the external force and the primordial source from which and to which everything extends from or tends to, respectively. He lives in us, through us, for us, despite us, encompassing all of us. Sai is a universal phenomenon of benediction by the formless, nameless Lord to the ones identified with the mortal shell. And for the ones who have chosen to find the spark of Sai within. Love all, serve all. Sai Ram, Anant, Ahmedabad. Wow, brother, you're a philosopher. Thank you, brother Anant from Ahmedabad. Now, there is one. This comes from Gopinath Rukmangathan from Chennai. Brother Gopinath Rukmangathan from Chennai says, at the outset, in this busy world and this advanced technology era, our source is Radio Sai. Helps us to think of Swami in all modes, listen, chant, sing, and acts as prompted and commanded by our beloved Swami. I know it's difficult for us, including me, but we must practice to the extent possible. Hope this helps. Then he wishes to share an extract of Satya Sai Speaks. The best way to, and it is taken from Satya Sai Speaks, Volume 20, and he has sent me the quote of Bhagwan's divine words. It says, the best way to develop inner vision, Anashakti Yoga, is not easily acceptable to ordinary people. But that does not mean that we should give up trying to attain it. With wholehearted effort and God's grace, seemingly impossible things can be achieved. If we persist in our efforts, then the practice we will be able, and with practice, we will be able to reach this high state of Anasakti Yoga in all our activities. To succeed in this, the inner vision must be developed. Constantly reflecting on the divinity that is everywhere is the best way to develop the inner vision that will establish us in Anasakti. But the inner vision is very rare among men. Even the greatest pundits and scholars are steeped only in outer vision. Thank you, brother Gopinath from Chennai, for sharing that with us. This one comes from brother Gaurav in Delhi. He says, I had only a couple of darshans of Swami, which I could clearly remember. But after that, one thing that I followed consistently was doing light meditation, that is Jyoti meditation, as guided by Swami. As a result of that, I always found Swami to be a part of my daily routine, thoughts and emotions. Even people around me seemed to be nice and cooperative. Whenever there was a tough situation, I found assurance in some way or the other, like a dream. But it has been some time since I have left that routine. I really find that life changed since then. I learned that if sadhana is done sincerely and consistently, it fills the void of missing God within yourself, and He won't let that happen. Sai Ram, Gaurav, that is beautiful, but why did you let go of the practice, brother? I request you go back to it. See how much it has benefited you. This is wonderful. Now, I just don't want to miss anything, so I'm going a little slow because there are so many messages here. This one comes from Sister Rekha in Vellore, in Tamil Nadu, I guess. She says, Sai Ram, by the grace of Swami, I had the privilege of darshan and sparshan and sambhashan and padnamaskar and blessings from Swami when He was in physical form, and naturally I missed His physical form and got upset and not visited Parthi for about 16 days prior to Guru Purnima in 2016. Okay, but in 16 days, I'm not reading it right. She got a little upset and did not visit Parthi also. But 16 days prior to Guru Purnima of 2016, I lost my dad. That day in my dream, I saw in Vrindavan Darshan time, my dad is performing Aarti to Swami. I felt so blessed to see both of them together. And then after Aarti, Swami went inside Tay Vrindavan and my dad followed Swami. Then I realized, just like Vrindavan, Parthi and Kodai homes, Swami got other homes in heaven, and Swami has gone there and He will visit us one fine day and we won't know how to go there. So Swami will come in dreams, and I started again to visit Parthi and to see Sai family members and feel Swami showering love and affection through them. This is beautiful. And she says, whenever I miss Swami, I just hear Radio Sai Discourse. I get Swami's voice and guidance. Beautiful experience, Sister Rekha. Now you know Swami and your dad are together doing some very important work in the other side. And thank you for sharing this with us. Rekha from Vellore, Tamil Nadu. This one comes to us from Padmanabhan Krishnan, who currently lives in Qatar, but is basically from Tamil Nadu and a Balvika student and a Sevadal. This person says to us from Qatar, Brother Padmanabhan Krishnan says, with respect to your question, constant integrated awareness, CIA, and pure heart are enough. Now, how to achieve constant integrated awareness is very simple. Namely, before doing anything, just we need to chant 3 times Om within ourselves. No need to loudly, instantly, automatically, our living master is installed within our hearts. And when we start to converse with him, he can boldly, bravely go ahead with our activities. If our heart or master says not to proceed with it, simply we should listen and should behave accordingly. This way, trust me, sister, since my Balvika's days until date of all his merciful and love, life is going ahead smoothly and divinely. Oh, beautiful. So 3 omkars in my heart before doing anything. Okay, I will remember that and I will say my 3 omkars, brother, even before starting morning glory. I do pray. Swami's chair is here, but I'll say those 3 silent omkars in my heart. I thank you for that suggestion, Brother Krishnan, Padmanabhan Krishnan from Qatar. Now, this one comes from Sister Usha Kondinya from Navi Mumbai, Maharashtra. Sister Usha Kondinya says, if I knew the answers, I would be in bliss and not in need of anything or anyone. The only thing I can say is I am a fellow pilgrim and my umbilical cord is Radio Sai. Then comes Sai Smaran, Sai Literature, Sai Seva. Hope one of the days the most compassionate Lord will bless me with the divine bhakti bliss. Thank you, Sister Usha, and participating, and I've answered your other question by direct reply. This one comes from Rani Rao from Johannesburg in South Africa. Sister Rani Rao says, this is what Swami said by doing Namasmarana in Kali Yuga. Number 2, keeping company with good-hearted people. You said light-hearted, that will be some very jolly people. Okay, light-hearted, or the ones whose hearts are filled with light, I guess. And seeing God in everyone. Oh, sometimes that's hard, sister. Some people make you kind of insist that this God has kind of disappeared from their hearts. But yes, seeing God in everyone is essential, and that's somewhere when all of us need to practice, yours truly in particular. Thank you for that, sister. This one comes from our brother, Yoga Kumra Nadaraja. And he said, he sent me a very nice reply. He said, apart from asking our listeners to subscribe to the YouTube Radio Sai channel on YouTube, I should also remind them to click on the bell button icon. There's an icon for the little bell, then you get a notification. So when you go to our YouTube, Radio Sai's YouTube channel, please subscribe and also click on the notification button. And he says, my answers that I was looking for came from Dr. Upendra Acharya's interview. Yes, I was listening and I also thought so. Thank you, Brother Yoga Kumran Nataraja from Toronto, Canada. This reply comes from this one, I think, is not in response to my question, and I have an answer from Reshma from Kerala, and she says that Reshma from Kerala says it's been just an experience which I always have, being a person with doubt in my heart. It always wavered. Whenever I face a problem, I think, Swami, really, are you God, and so on. And I don't have that issue. My issue is, am I actually working on it? As a question was raised by you, sister, I fixed up my mind. I don't have anything to reply, as I don't do anything. With headphones, I was listening to the experiences of Dr. Acharya while on work. One of my colleagues came near me, and he's one of my close friends at office. He saw the Radio Sai app through which I was listening. Without a second thought, he shouted at me that you should not be doing this. Now, she did not want to argue, And that's when she heard Dr. Acharya say, surrender to Swami. And this is the, and once his eye is on you, nothing can keep you away from me. This is the sweetest thing of a human being. And all the answers are so informative that I understand I have a long way to go. Thank you for a blissful morning. Sorry about your unpleasant experience. Maybe work is not a good place to be listening to Radio Sai unless you have the permission of your seniors. Thank you, Reshma, for that reply. And with that, I'll just one last time check my email if there's something there. And because I have a lot of important announcements to share with you. Yes, there is one. It says, Sairam, along with our personal sadhana and constant integration, we have to keep our faith. If this becomes mechanical and mundane, one should change space and time so one is not caught up in the emptiness. And we are not do. And okay, hold on. It's a long one. This is from Ahilan from Appleton City, from the USA. Okay, I need to just quickly browse through because this is going to take a long time to read it. So he says the best thing is to keep our faith, and if it's becoming a monotonous change of space and time, going to retreats, conferences, energy to recharge our battery, and offer everything back to Swami so the energy flows back to Him. We are all in different stages, kindergarten stage. Yes, agree. You got that right. Some of us are, and we need to progress. And the energy, peace, and bliss we experience is nothing but when we sing bhajans, but oneness with God. Thank you, Brother Ahilan Shivaswamy from the city of Appleton, located near Green Bay, Wisconsin, USA. Thank you for your participation. Now, dear listeners, you know, earlier we were talking, and Sai Sudha from Bombay sent us congratulations for having achieved the silver status from YouTube, because our listenership has gone through our roof and our subscription has crossed 1 lakh subscribers. I just want to, first of all, thank all of you who participated and shared your answers with me. I appreciate and you resonate what I needed to hear, and I think we're all in this together, and all of us can use each other's help and guidance and pointers to progress. So thank you for that. And speaking of our YouTube channel, for those of you who have been following our bhajan channel, we have been offering a bhajan a day from the day of Shivaratri till yesterday, Aradhana Day. So we did 72 bhajans from Shivaratri to Aradhana Day. I think it was 4th of March to 24th of April. We did a lot of bhajans and with wonderful visuals, and that was our series number one. So you can go back and watch any day, all day available at your leisure, at your own convenience. Whenever you feel like, pick a favorite bhajan from that series of 72 bhajans and enjoy listening to them and watching the beautiful visuals that we have handpicked and curated those bhajans with. And I want you to also know that you can stay tuned to that, because that's why you have to click on the notification button, subscribe, and also the little bell icon, so that as soon as the next series comes up, you will get a notification, because we will be working towards coming up. You know, we in the ashram, our ecosystem, our calendar is all based on festivals. Okay, we'll try to finish this by Ugadi, by Guru Purnima, by Swami's birthday, by Navaratri. So there are many, many festivals. This is a very busy and happening place. So next two sets of festivals, the next series of bhajans will come up, and stay tuned to that. Now, dear listeners, at the start of the show, I told you about the musical extravaganza that happened in the Sai Kulwant Hall during this Aradhana Day Mahotsavam. I'm running out of time, but I just want to play one or two songs, if possible, to share with you how wonderful the music was, and till the next host comes and tunes off. So please enjoy. Otherwise, I will bring this music to you next week also. Thank you for your company. Look forward to your feedback, and Jai Sai Ram.
असीम अखंडगम्यम सत्यम शिवम सुंदरम अमर असीम अखंडगम्यम सत्यम शिवम सुंदरम Chidanandarupam Sadanandarupam Shivoham 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 Shivoham
story of His infinite glory, captured through divine discourses, music, bhajans, and through Vedas, talk shows, interviews, panel discussion, and study circles. All brought to you live from the epicenter of our times, Prashanthi Nilayam, India. Radio Sai Thursday Live.